All right, there. Can you hear me? Yeah, yeah.
You'll put the bottom mic towards me.
There we go. I have to go to my Bible, so there'll be a lot of clicking sounds throughout there. All right, as I was saying, it's going to be a little bit different than a customary class. First of all, I received an email asking, well, can we have all the lessons online? I can put the lessons online. That's fine. I can tell you right now, though, the pages, the first few pages you have in your lesson book is all you're going to need, ultimately, to really do this study, for, at least from what I expect from you early on. And I'll tell you how that works in just a second. This is a class on Psalms. It's not just about the book of Psalms, but we will mostly be dealing in the book of Psalms when we discuss this. And as you can see, the first verse on the front cover, "Serve the Lord with gladness, come before Him with joyful singing." It's taken from Psalms 102, verse 2. And that's kind of one of the themes in this class. This is what we're going to be doing this quarter. We're going to be examining the songs and the songs, and we're going to be making application. We are going to have some detailed study of some of the Psalms, but as we'll find out here, it's going to be just a little bit different. I'd like you to turn over to the first page in the lesson. Today we're going to do some introduction. This will probably take 3 or 4 classes. We're going to look at the value of studying the Psalms and the definition. And then we might get to the history and the authors of the Psalms. There's various characteristics of the Psalms, and they're divinely inspired, and we'll take a look at that. And then the application and practical use will be all throughout the whole class. We'll have a little bit to say about songs and worship today. We'll do that a little bit early on, but kind of saving more of that towards the end of the class. Because as we're going through this and you're learning some more things, we're going to make some conclusions when we get to the end. We're going to look at the New Testament. We're going to look at New Testament worship and that sort of thing. The way the lessons are divided up, as you can see, are by the different kinds of categories. And this is not obviously an exhaustive list. And by each psalm, I've kind of put my own title. You may come up with your own titles. But first we're going to look at spiritual or moral psalms. The first psalm, Psalm 1, we would probably spend a good class period, maybe 2 on. And the truly blessed man. And then Psalm 52 and so forth and so on. We'll talk about psalms of praise. You recognize maybe Psalm 148 in that category. We'll talk about messianic psalms. Some of the psalms in the book of Psalms talk about the Christ. Penitential psalms. Psalms of suffering and lament. And then there are some historical songs. And then you have something called songs of ascent. And that's not really a good category name. It's just a title we might put on those and what they are. And we'll look at those. And then Thanksgiving, Psalms of Thanksgiving, and then imprecatory psalms. We'll look at those as well. And as I said, we'll look at psalms and prayers and worship. And if time permits, we'll have a review. Okay, skip the objectives, which is the next page, for a minute here. And let's take a look at the introduction. Psalms. So why do we have a study on Psalms? Well, obviously the book of Psalms is a portion of God's Word. It's inspired, and as we'll see, it's confirmed by Jesus, by the apostles, and used in Scriptures. And teaching. So that's an obvious reason why we ought to be studying Psalms. Another reason is that we see that everything in the Old Testament is written for our instruction. And actually, before we get started here, I'm going to just make a side note about the class. I brought my Bible with me today. I have a Bible on the computer. I know a lot of people have a Bible on the computer. I just want to mention, for this class, it's helpful that if you do have a Bible on some kind of device, that it's a good study Bible. Because I know a lot of the versions don't have a lot of things that are in Psalms. There's a lot of notes and stuff you may not see in there. So it would be helpful. It's not crucial, but just kind of a note. But I'll be turning in both Bibles, as we go through class. Anyway, everything in the Old Testament is written for our instruction. We know 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16. And I've broken out some of that in the passages below. Turn over, if you will, to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 3, "For even Christ did not please himself, but as is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grants you to be of the same mind with one according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You notice right here in 6, it's already talking about the spirit we need to have among each other when we're doing things and when we're reading God's Word and when we're making application. And it's almost like if we have this understanding, if we have this unity of the Scriptures and of God's grace, then we can with one voice glorify God. What you might also notice in verse 5 is that it's God who gives perseverance and encouragement. And may that God, that same God, grant you to be of the same mind. How does God do that? How does God grant encouragement and perseverance? Or how does he help us with those things? Okay, I'm going to be asking a lot of questions this class, and I'm going to be sitting here, so...
Verse
4
answers.
Verse 4 answers. Right. Encouragement of the Scriptures that we might have hope. That's what we're doing in this class. We're looking through the Psalms. It's part of the Scriptures. And we're looking at other places in the Bible as well to do just that. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. "Now these things happened to them as an example," for the Israelites, obviously, in the context. "They were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation is overtaking you, but such is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." Question. Why would Paul spend all this time talking about the Israelites and say, "Now these things happen to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction"? What are we going to do with it?
Learn from it.
Learn from it. What are we going to learn from it?
What not to do.
What not to do, okay. So when it comes down to verse 13, and temptation, we're faced with temptation, what are we going to do about it? I know, Craig, we're going to avoid temptation. Well, that's good. I'm glad we're going to avoid temptation.
We can use their example.
We can use their example. We can look at the Scripture. We can look at God's Word. And what does the verse say specifically? I just gave you an example of how you do it. But what does the verse specifically say?
Gives a way to escape.
Who gives a way to escape?
God does.
God gives a way to escape. God gives a way to escape. We're not going to be able to take advantage of that escape if we don't take advantage of God's Word. You know, God is not going to zap us and force us to do something. But there's always some means for us to be able to learn, for us to be able to grow and say, you know what, here's an out, I need to take it. And so that's what the study is going to help do. Now you guys know 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17, that all Scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for what? Teaching. Okay? What else? Can you look at your lesson with some of the words on there? If you don't have it memorized.
Reproof
and correction. Okay? Training in righteousness. So we've seen that in these passages, as we look at the Old Testament, as we study the Psalms, we can look at examples, we can find instruction, and these are all things you'll find in the Psalms, by the way. You can find encouragement. There'll be things to build our hope. We'll be looking at Messianic Psalms. It'll give us wisdom. It'll train us in righteousness, and it'll equip us for every good work. And that's what our aim and goal is of this class. And so that's why we take the time to, you know, go through these passages. Now, Psalms, of course, are... Why do we study the Psalms? Well, Psalms, you know, are the subject of our some of our worship. And by subject, I mean we use songs. We use Psalms. We use songs inspired by the Psalms to worship our God. And that's not just somebody come up, you know, in the 1800s says, you know, I think we need to sing to God. Right? We know that it's a command of God. And so what better way to learn about what we should be doing and how we should glorify God and how we should please God than looking at the songs that were inspired by the Holy Spirit? Now, take that with a grain of salt. You know, we can't be singing about victories that we had over armies and things like that. There's lessons that we learn. Okay, look at it. Colossians 3:16. And we will be hitting these verses again, but I think it's important for us to turn there. Actually, starting in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. How? Through faith. That you may be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up in all the fullness of God.
Greg,
yes?
You said Colossians and you meant Ephesians.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. What I have written down there.
I was going to say, Ephesians doesn't read like this.
You know what? I want both verses on there. Take a pencil, write it in, Ephesians 3. But I don't want 16. I want 14 through 19. And what I want to point out, folks, is exactly what we're going to be doing with this singing. You know, singing is not just words we say. It's not we get up there and, you know, here's a melody and we sing. It has to do with the inner man. It has to do with our heart. And it has to be doing about, you know, applying our faith with our heart in worship to God. Okay, now turn over to Colossians. Well, let's go, while you're there, Ephesians. That's the next one. Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And what do we use to make melody in our heart with the Lord? We use psalms. We use hymns and we use spiritual songs. And then in James chapter 5, verse 19, my brethren, if any among you strays, this is James 5, 19, if any among you strays from the truth, let the one... that's not the right verse either.
Yeah, it is.
Is it all right? Nope. I'm sorry, it's verse 13. I got typos galore all over the place. If anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing praises. And if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, they will be forgiven him. You have a couple different things. You've got people that are suffering. Pray. And you've got this verse about singing. And then you've got people that what? Are sick. Probably spiritually sick. What do you do? Pray. So what's sandwiched in between pray and pray?
Sing.
Sing. Sing. You can pray too. You know, if you're joyful, you can pray to God and thank God. This is kind of like a if we're suffering, we don't think about singing. Usually when we think about singing, we're thinking about something that's happened. Sometimes when we sing, we do sing sad songs. But when we're upset or something, maybe we think more about praying. I don't know why the Holy Spirit, you know, might have done that. But praying, singing, either one is a good expression of joy. And certainly when you're suffering as well. And we'll look at some examples of that. That's not just Craig saying it. You know, I hope it's not just Craig saying it. You can tell me if it's not, if you can tell me afterwards or tell me during class and correct me or whatever. By the way, if you have any questions I can't answer, we've got two elders here. So. All right, I mentioned that there's some actual substance in worship. An example I have on your page is Psalm 148. A lot of the words of the psalm are found in our songbook, number 2, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. And as we have occasion during the class, there are songbooks in the corner, and we're actually going to get them out and use them. And we're going to sing. And we're not going to sing as some educational device. We're going to sing praises to God. That is. And we'll do that throughout the class. The Psalms are an inspiration for spiritual songs used in worship. An example of this is Psalm 91. Turn over to Psalm 91. Okay, you notice on the page I have a mighty fortress. If you just start reading it, how is God compared as a mighty fortress? Was it Martin Luther that came up with that song? I think that's who it was. Martin Luther didn't pull it out of thin air. No. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper. And from the deadly pestilence he will cover you with his pinions. And under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. And you can just keep on reading how God is a fortress and who is protecting us. And we read in the New Testament that today in worship we use psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, obviously if we sing a psalm, hymn, or spiritual song, we want it to be based on the scriptures. We don't want to be singing something that's false. And so many of the hymns that we have, in fact, a majority of them are all inspired. Not inspired, that's the wrong word. That kind of gets confusing. People would read the psalm and would dwell on it and would think about the things that they wanted to put down because it's how they were feeling. It's what they wanted to convey. It's what they wanted to encourage us with. So, a study of the Psalms can help teach us how to better worship God. But it can do that by helping us worship God the proper way, in spirit and in truth, as He desires, by first Him providing prayers and songs inspired by Him. Inspired by the Holy Spirit. And then by us taking those things and either out of our own personal selves, dwelling on them, encouraging ourselves, encouraging each other, building each other up, using what we've learned to worship God in hopes that each one of us can be lifted up and do what we talked about early on in the class. Give us wisdom. Build our hope up. Give us training in righteousness and equip us and to teach us. What else can the Psalms do? Well, we mentioned they're messianic. They lead us to Christ, confirming Jesus the Messiah. Look over at Luke chapter 24, quick. Now we know we can go to some of the prophets, like Isaiah. We also know that David was a prophet, right? David wrote many of our songs. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. This is Jesus saying, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." We'll talk a little bit more about the history of Psalms. But I want to mention something about Jesus right here, so that there's no misunderstanding. During Jesus' time, you had the Old Testament. It was complete. You had the Psalms. You don't see Jesus, you don't see apostles going around saying, well, the Psalms of David, these Psalms are not these Psalms. That's not in question here. Okay? What you see is Jesus saying, you have the book of Moses, the first five books of the Bible. We have all the things that Moses wrote about Christ. We have the prophets, we know that, right? Isaiah prophesying about the death of Christ. A bunch of other things, over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. We have the Psalms, and there are Messianic Psalms, things that talk about Jesus. And Jesus affirms, the Son of God affirms, that He fulfills them. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 and in verse 25. Case in point, the apostles of Jesus Christ teaching. Starting in verse 24, Peter is saying, and God raised him, that's Jesus, up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says of him, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue exulted. Moreover my flesh also will abide in hope, because thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy presence. Come across this reading in the Old Testament, and it's a messianic song. It's a song. Was David saying this about himself? Well, Peter explains, no. He was talking about the Christ. This is found in Psalms chapter 16, verse 8 through 11. You might have a footnote you can see in your Bible there pointing out. And as we mentioned, the Psalms and songs of the Bible can help strengthen us by giving us insight into the expressions of godly men and women, offering up true worship unto God. And they are of great value. I'm going to do something a little bit weird. Maybe you can catch the point. But I'm going to take everybody to Matthew chapter 6. And I say it's a little bit weird. I think it's, you consider it maybe common sense. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, where Jesus said, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Okay? God knows what we need. Jesus said, pray then in this way. If you recall from other Gospels, the apostles asked Him, teacher, how do we pray? Jesus says, pray then in this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven others. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Look at that last point. Why would Jesus say that? Why would Jesus say that? Besides it being a truth, something, what did he just get through praying? He just got through praying. This is how you're supposed to pray. Forgive us our debts as what? We've also forgiven our debtors. So to say this prayer and to have this blessing, if you will, if you want to call that, you know, I guess it's the opposite. You're saying you won't forgive your transgressions, but if you want to have God's forgiveness, then your heart has to be in the right place, right? And what are we doing with our heart? What are we doing with our heart? We're forgiving others, right? And what are we doing in our prayers? Lord, please forgive us as we forgive others. So in prayer, Jesus is teaching us a valuable lesson. He's teaching us a lesson about our heart and where it needs to be to receive blessings from God. But he's also teaching us how we to pray. Now, are these the words we're to say? Well, it'd probably be okay. most of them. Or maybe if you put a little different meaning on kingdom or whatever, but pray then in this way, in this likeness. He starts out saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He recognizes first our Father. Is our Father the devil? I guess the devil could be in heaven at times, but he's referring to our Father, God who's in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. He's the one, the true, the only living God. We can't pray that with sincerity unless we believe it, unless we have that faith. He says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Look at Jesus. Look at all that Jesus went through because his will was one with God's. He said, Thy will be done. And he overcame temptation after temptation after temptation. And he came here teaching and preaching, and he came to fulfill God's word. So he prays to God, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What's he doing right there? What would we say that's a prayer of? He's taking care of us. Yeah, it's a petition, right? It's a prayer that's asking for us. What else is it doing, though? Think about this just for a minute. This is a little bit awkward, I know. I'm going to get really awkward sometimes. I've got a strange mind. Give us this day our daily bread. Who did we just ask for that? Trick question.
The giver?
The giver. We acknowledge God as the giver. We didn't say, Lord, I don't need you. I'm able to feed myself. Right? We said, give us this day our daily bread. We acknowledge him as the giver. That's what the study's about, folks. Looking at these psalms, in this case a prayer, and gleaning understanding that we can take home. We need to have trust in God. Remember Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. Do we trust him? He knows what we need. He knows what we need. That's what Jesus said. Verse 8, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. We talked about forgiveness, and then verse 13, do not lead us into temptation. What kind of prayer is that? How would you classify that phrase, lead us not into temptation? What would you say it was a thanksgiving?
Supplication?
Okay, that's like a prayer. Steve's giving me this really weird look all night. He's like, where's Craig going with this? We might say it's kind of like a moral request, right? It's a spiritual moral request. We have some songs like this. Search my heart, O Lord. Lead us not into temptation. And then the second part paired with it, deliver us from evil. Okay? Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. So it's not an appeal for God to shine a path while we're walking that we're just going to go, oh, thanks. I know where to go now. It's not something that just hits us out of the sky. It's doing the study. It's studying God's word. It's praying to God for help. And there's ways that we don't understand that God can help. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know the mind of God. But the Holy Spirit gives us a little bit of insight into the mind of God. And he goes on to say, for thine is the kingdom and power and glory forever. That's a pretty simple one. What kind of prayer, or if we were to sing it, what kind of song would that be? Yeah, what kind of prayer? If you got to classify that, if you say, oh, this is it thanksgiving?
Or,
it's praise, right? It's praise, and it's also acknowledging the kingship and the royalty of God. Okay, and that's littered throughout the Psalms as well. So I hope this wasn't a weird exercise, but I want to. When we look at the Psalms, a lot of them can be noted as prayers. When we look at the definition, we're going to talk about that. And it's scriptural to think of how Jesus was trying to teach us using his prayer and how we ought to pray, how our heart ought to be, the different ways we ought to pray. Okay? We don't just have to get up there and God just doesn't want to say, praise be to God, amen. No, he's got angels that can sing praises to him all day. He wants us to choose to bend our hearts to his will, to his word, whether it be something we need, whether it be something that we need help with, whether it be we're suffering from something, whether it be we're happy about something that the Lord has done, whether it be about how gracious we are for the hope we have in salvation, all those things are great reasons to pray, and they're great reasons to sing. And we do it. Okay. Questions, comments?
Yeah, a comment, Craig. So, sir, this last bullet you've been talking about, it gives us insight into the expressions of godly men and women. So, it would be fair to say that Psalms is primarily a book, and I realize it's inspired, but in the interest of doing things weirder, is it primarily written from man's perspective to God, rather than God teaching man?
Well, and that's a great question. Because, I mean, you have things like, you look at the Song of Mary, for instance. Here's this woman, and she's just been told by an angel of God that she, if you want to count you know, Mary's as a song, that she was going to conceive Jesus. And here you have this beautiful, you know, words that come out of her mouth of praising God. And you have these psalms that were prophetic in nature, that no man could know what these things could mean when they were, you know, that it could point to the Christ, if you will. Only God could know what was going to happen. So many of the Psalms, when we say they're inspired, they're just like the writings we have in the New Testament, to some extent. Men that were guided by the Holy Spirit to write down the things. That doesn't mean that they didn't have their own flavor. It doesn't mean they didn't have their own experiences. You know, Luke writing about his journeys with Paul in Acts. No. The Psalms that we'll find, there's several Psalms, Rod, to get more to your question, that are kind of dual and even triple in nature. Where you can see, you know, here's a man that's worshiping God. Here's David, and he's worshiping God, and he's praying about, you know, how gracious he is about different things. But inside that Psalm, you can pull out a messianic piece. And they're sometimes dual in nature. And you could say, yeah, the you know, David could sing this song, maybe not even knowing what it was about from a messianic standpoint of view, and worship God with it. And we'll see that, and we'll look at that. So it's a good question, Rob. Did I answer your question, what you're getting at? And they're all a little bit different. And I, you know, like I said, I don't pretend to know the mind of God. So when we look at the Psalms, I want to say this about the Psalms. We don't know all the authors of the Psalms. I'll say that right off. You know, you're probably aware of that. There's even one Psalm that some versions have that was written by Jeremiah. Again, I want to repeat about what Jesus said. Jesus said what the Psalms prophesy about me. There wasn't a contesting of that time about what the Psalms were. They were collected, and there was a version of the Old Testament already. There wasn't any debate, and I don't think we should debate it, and scholars usually don't. We will talk about a few false things that come along.
Before you leave this point, sir. I think I understood, but I want you to clarify one simple statement for me.
Okay.
Why did you use Matthew 6 about prayer to talk about Psalms? I think I understand, but I'd like you to...
That's a great question. And I do it kind of a weird about way. Well, first of all, when we look at Psalms, we're going to see that they're prayers. A lot of them are prayers. And that's not me putting the word prayer on there. That's the Holy Spirit, you know, having it in there. By using Jesus' example, I want to see all the facets of prayer that Jesus is using and saying, I'm going to teach you how to pray. And by seeing that Jesus is saying, this is how you pray, and he uses a case in point about our hearts and how we forgive others, that when we go to the Psalms, which are prayers, and when we consider the example that the Holy Spirit has left us, we ought to look at it in the same light. Again, we can't be verbatim about things. We need to have understanding when we pray or when we sing. But it's scriptural to use them as inspiration, and not only as inspiration for writing the songs, but also for making differences in our lives as we worship God personally. Gotcha? Okay. Yeah. I know it's a little bit weird about way, but we'll get there. Okay, we've got a few minutes class left. I wanted to get through these expectations real quick because I want to let you know what we can expect in this class. Okay, we're striving to learn God's Word so we can better worship in spirit and truth. John 4 tells us that's how you're supposed to worship Him. But here's the thing. Look over at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. This is going to be a little bit... If you might have been in Steve's class several years ago. I think it was over a decade ago. And by the way, some of the introductory material comes from this lesson, and I'm indebted to him for that. But look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. The seed and the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. That's what we're aiming for in this class. We are going to do a study of the Psalms. We are going to look at them at kind of a detail level. But we're going to spend a lot of time in application, personal application. And I hope I don't want to scare you're locked in this class because I'm going to scare some of y'all. It's not scary. I'm going to ask for your participation in this class. This class, besides just answering questions, is a participation class. Okay? What do I expect from students? Well, what does God expect from anybody but to study His Word, right? So, everybody has different schedules, busy schedules. At a minimum, we should be spending time studying Psalms, either the Psalm assigned or additional Psalms. Prepare a song prayer for each. I'll explain that a little bit more later. And as time allows, write down additional notes or thoughts in the margin of the psalm. Now, I didn't want to give out any psalms, the first psalm yet, because it's when you see it, it's a little bit, you know, might give some people the shakes. But it's going to be, that and the first couple lessons are going to be a template. Remember I told you that, you know, you have everything right here in this book to kind of study for this class, and you do. The very first page that tells you all the Psalms we're going to be studying. That's what you need to know, because that's what we're doing. We're studying God's Word. You can read it. You can analyze it. You can make notes. You can share your notes in class. You can look at the template that I'm going to provide y'all, and y'all can go through each one and say, this is this kind of Psalm. This is what I get out of this. And then you can do the last assignment, which is my Psalm, my prayer. Which, by the way, y'all looking through your notes, there's no assignments for like for a couple of weeks. It's just the lesson material, so y'all can go through it. You're going to take what we read about in the psalm. You're going to glean a lesson two or three from it, and we're going to write a prayer, or if you want to write a song, that's okay. I'm not going to teach you how to do music here. We're not going to do that in this class. Okay, I can do that with you, on the side if you'd like help with that. Taking the lessons that we learned and making our own prayers. And here's the aim of it. Not only to help us learn the Psalms, help us learn the lessons from the Psalms, but also to help improve our prayer life, help improve our personal life. That's what we're going for. We're making actual application. Obviously, you can't do that with everything, but it'd be really interesting when we get to the last set of lessons, which is our imprecatory Psalms, because I can ask somebody and they can tell us how they don't like Obama or something. If you guys know what imprecatory Psalms is. Anyway, so that at a minimum. And then, obviously, your teacher is going to be leading the class, but much of the class will be dependent upon each student's study and participation for the building up of the saints. I'm going to try this. We'll see how it works. I've got a lot of good Bible students here, so I'm confident this will be fine. I will ask people to participate. But I won't do it just on spur. I won't say anything. Jeff, what do you got?
So, Craig, I'll tell you, I'm a little unclear, but you're going to show us what you want us to do. I'm going to show you. Before you ask us.
That's right.
That's the point.
Yeah. And, but every psalm will be the same. Almost. There's some psalms that's in there and apply to very well. But two or three people to share their prayer, or their psalm. And we'll talk about it. And hopefully we'll have a little bit. I'll get with you ahead of time, and I'll say, hey, you know, I might give you a little bit of encouragement one way, and then maybe somebody else a different way, so that way we don't end up with it. They're never going to be the same. But anyway, you can gather where I'm going with it. And then we need to complete the class objectives. And we can go there right now. Before we see the official objectives, and like I said, my personal objective there at the bottom of the page, to help every person appreciate the Psalms, the Book of Psalms, the songs, increase in faith and make use of them in daily worship. And I'm talking about coming to church and singing. I'm talking about daily worship. whether it be encouragement, wisdom, prayer, inspiration, singing praises, worshiping God. That is my aim and goal. That's what we're going to be doing. This is not, you know, we spend a little bit of time in introduction, you know, talking about how many psalms are written by somebody and how many psalms are in that. Turn a page back to the objectives, and these are the objectives that the elders have laid out. And these are just a rough sketch. We're going to cover a number of these objectives in the introduction, starting, we already have in some of them, but getting into next week's lesson as well. What the title of the book means, what are two other appropriate titles, the composition of it. So this is page two, if you will. The approximate span of the Psalms. Who is the writer of the majority of the Psalms? I think you could probably guess that. The nature and reliability of the Psalm titles. Look at that. Who wrote it? You know, can we trust that? The musical direction, little notes like that. Different characteristics of the Psalm. We already talked a little bit about this tonight. There are different kinds of Psalms. So when we're examining the Psalms, we'll actually see the different kinds of Psalms there are and different characteristics of them as well. There's little phrases in there. There's some poetry involved in the song, if you're interested in that sort of thing. The Levitical tribe's role in public worship. So that's Old Testament worship, obviously. What the poetic use of parallelism is and its value interpreting the Psalms. You'll see this over and over again. If you want to know what phrase B talks about, that clock's a minute off, yeah, look at phrase A. So I guess we're going to stop there. And again, next week, starting Sunday, we'll get into the next page and go more into the introduction. Thanks, everybody.